one of my biggest pitches. Is Brother Ken Rainey.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. Brother Ken Rainey from Greenville, South Carolina. And he's going to be coming and speaking to us at this time on the altered Bibles and their promoters. Altered Bibles and their promoters. Lord bless you, Brother Rainey, to come.
See many of you I've known a long time, and it's good to see you. A joy to be back together with you, and I pray that we'll have not only a good meeting, but one that honors the Lord. I've been looking forward to being here, and I hope that we'll be able to go away from your strength.
Amen.
I've enjoyed the messages so far. It's my turn to stir the pot. And so, as the meeting picks up, should the Lord not come, then I'll go away from here knowing all over the internet world there'll be people who are angry with me. Yeah, barely. Well, woe be unto you when all men speak well.
Amen.
All right. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and do it. Now, since I have put the title out there, I think it's fair to give a definition at least of what I think I'm trying to say. And for me, the definition of altered Bible version in this paper is any Bible translation that is not based upon the preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words of the received text. Or any bad or inaccurate translation of the received text.
Right.
Now, although there are many, if not most, Bible schools and seminaries which support, use, and promote the altered Bibles, this speaker will use Bob Jones University of Greenville, South Carolina, my hometown, as an example of a religious school of Bible learning which not only uses altered Bibles at this writing, the English Standard Version, but also promotes the version, other versions, and the written works, and extol that version, they make no pretense about it anymore. These facts are important. Bob Jones University has a respected name. Therefore, people listen. And because they have a respected name, they are in a position to promote other versions and other written works which use and extol other versions, which should be preferred by religious people. Bob Jones has not used the received text in the Greek text for many, many years. Bob Jones uses the critical text of Westcott Court. These are facts which must be seen because BJU hides its modernist position from the public. Bob Jones uses its school's declared use of nothing but the King James Bible in the chapel pulpit to mislead people. Oh, we use nothing but the King James Bible in chapel. We love the King James Bible. But when they leave the King James Bible on the pulpit. It's misleading evidence of the preference for other Bible versions. In the classroom, the King James isn't used. In churches of BJ graduates, the pastor very often uses altered versions and promote them. I was at a funeral recently of a person who had a Bob Jones pastor, and he used the ESV. Unapologetically and unashamedly. The pastors use those versions and promote them, and Bob Jones is a strong supporter of altered versions. They are deceptive and dishonest in their hidden Bible position. Now, there's all kinds of problems with all kinds of technology these days. And I'm not sure that went out. So just to be sure. Bob Jones University is a strong supporter of altered versions. They are deceptive and dishonest in their hidden Bible position. Now, in any effort to determine how many English translations there are, I wasn't able to get a precise answer. I kept asking the internet. You're supposed to be able to find out anything on the internet. I kept asking the internet, kept sending me back a little two-word question and said, huh? What's three words? Three letters. Huh? Kept saying, huh? So I tried to word it a different way. How many? Huh? And it just kept on and on. Finally, I got a number that said, 90. And so I said, well, if that's it, that's it. There are 90, thereabouts or more or less, some numbers, of translations out there today. How many times can you change a word? And so Bob Jones is now using the latest one. Now, 200 word changes are needed to get a copyright on any new version. That means if you have 90 new versions, that there's about something like 18,000 new words added instead of what had been in the Bible. And you don't have to be a mathematician to say that's a lot of changes. Now, if you'll pardon a personal opinion in this staggering number of older Bibles, it would seem that anyone with a pet sin, well, I'll move on from that. Anyone with a pet sin or who desires God's word not to trouble them with conviction of their sins, or who wish to make a name for themselves, or money, or profit, has produced an altered Bible version.
Right.
Those who want the few archaic words altered are willing to settle for the compromise Bible rather than just try to figure out how to deal with the little archaic words that they seem to have so much trouble with. It doesn't stand to reason. Change the whole Bible over a few words that you can find out the definition for it if you wanted to, from any given day. This avalanche of altered Bibles began with the revised text of 1881. The revised text produced went far beyond the scope of the assignment assigned the revision committee, who were to correct such things as spelling in the authorized version. The scholars of the revision committee were without doubt brilliant scholars. However, the committee soon became dominated by a liberal few, led by Bishop B.F. Westcott and J.F.A. Hart in particular. The text produced was a horribly altered one. That God-dishonoring text is the basis for virtually all modern Bible translations, and the acceptance of altered Bibles by so-called Bible schools and their respected Bible teachers and indoctrinated students have caused large numbers of churches to abandon the trustworthy authorized version. These are altered Bible supporters. I hope I set forth there to you clearly. I tried to. What I think an altered Bible supporter is. It's a stinking school somewhere with someone who doesn't have any more conscience than to lie to students to make a name for themselves and get tenure.
Right.
Was that okay?
That's true.
The above facts are sad in themselves, but the equally sad fact is the loss of the accurate Word of God being replaced by seriously inferior versions through misguided loyalty to pastors indoctrinated into error. The change to this Satan-inspired alteration of the Word of God has caused a lack of confidence in the Bible in many cases. The result is a rising crime. People have gotten away from the Bible. A rising crime, broken homes, children without spiritual or social moorings, an escalation of pervasive sexual deviance, the abortion epidemic, all of which has led to spiritual weakening.
Right.
Moral decline of the family and breakdown of America also follows. Scholarly acceptance of perverted Bible and indoctrination of their students who have sold the acceptance of altered Bibles to those church members who have trusted them has brought about an unrealized crisis in faith. It seems obvious that there is a serious loss of confidence among the masses that there is a true and accurate Word of God to be found.
Yeah.
One Bible is as good as another is the attitude which reveals the serious degree of spiritual blindness of many church members regarding popular altered Bibles. Adam is recorded as foolishly following Eve into Satan's trap when he didn't obey God's true word, and as a new virgin followers surrender more and more to God's word, sin becomes more and more accepted.
Yeah.
How can it be otherwise when altered versions don't powerfully warn of the ruin sin brings? Satan, our enemy, evil enemy that he is, promotes disbelief in God's true words. Genesis says, when the woman saw, and I hate bringing this up, ladies, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Genius that he was.
Yeah.
Satan used the same three temptations today. He uses the same three temptations today to ruin as he did Adam and Eve. For all that is in the world, everything, the whole arsenal that Satan has, his arsenal, only three things. The lust of the flesh. I made a remark to somebody the other day. I happened to be coming out of a store, and I saw this lady going by. I used to turn loose. And so I was standing there and I said, there was nothing left to be imagined. I mean, there was nothing left. I spent years in police work. We put folks like that in jail. Used to, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Ooh, look. And the pride of life. And look at me. Is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Yeah.
Lack of concern for the changes and deletions of the true words of God reflected in the seemingly small resistance of the religious community to the substitution of the authorized version by seriously inferior Bible versions reveals questionable faith at its best. It's just absolutely. A person can't have real faith.
Right.
If they give up their Bible, you just
right.
can't have it. The altered version Avalanche could not have so easily succeeded as it had if it had met with the objection of a convinced people of faith that God had preserved His Word for them and that the altered Bibles being produced are far inferior. The Bible, the spiritual planet founded upon a weakened Bible, altered Bible ministry is now very unsuited to bring about spiritual conviction of sin, leading to salvation through repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Weak Bibles. In addition, many churches are declining in both membership and attendance, brought about by weak and careless spiritual faith due to large part to abandonment of the God-blessed authorized version. Needed is a genuine move of the Holy Spirit in the true church.
Yes.
But new version Bibles lack Holy Spirit power to bring about revival. Go along to get along, pastors. I won't ask how many of you are here today. I hope none. Go along to get along, pastors, as well as pastors who are convinced altered Bible promoters will not stand with God in proclaiming His true message. As with Micaiah, the true prophet in 1 Kings chapter 22, truth isn't followed because of a preferred popular word. Ahab, king of Israel's northern kingdom, at the request of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah's southern kingdom, sought a word from a prophet that wasn't a modernist. It didn't really say that in the Bible, but that's the way I took it. Modernist. Micaiah, who was in prison for preaching truth, was reluctantly sent for by King Ahab. He was advised by his escort, lackey we call him, advised by his escort from prison to speak from the popular version, ESV I guess, of the time. The advice of the religious lackey was, go with the flow. And the messenger that was gone actually said, without me criticizing him, going to call Micaiah, speak unto him, saying, behold, now the words yeah. of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth.
Yeah.
Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Micaiah kind of straightened up his coat. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak.
Amen.
I'll tell you, we need that from government to the pulpit and everywhere else.
Right.
School, classrooms, you name it. Truth.
Amen.
There are a few prophets like Micaiah in his day. There were and who reverenced the Word of God, all threats and admonitions for conformity, power, rejection, and all, as well as persecutions. They were common. And so powerful are Bible schools, colleges, and seminaries by means of their student endorsements. as well as references from other versions, pastors, teachers in these days of compromise, that a servant of God who solidly stands uncompromisingly with the preserved Word of God is often persecuted for his faithful stand with the unaltered, authorized Bible. Satan is delighted with Eve's descendants. I call all Eve's descendants. Satan is delighted with all Eve's descendants who are a majority in the altered Bible religious community. Thank God for the few who stand with the fundamental truth of the authorized version. Psalm 11:3 says, "For if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" The answer to that question appears to be needed now. How the troubling phenomenon of wholesale departure by teachers and pastors from that of the faithful, conservative, fundamental teachers and pastors of the past who believed, taught, and lived by the trustworthy, preserved Bible before a new version epidemic came about, causing a catastrophic collapse of society and true faith, is bewildering. This tragic departure is founded upon the sad sinking sand of altered Bibles. When I was in school, going all the way through seven grades in my little one building school in South Carolina, we had devotions in class. Two of our teachers, I think in second grade and fourth grade, were Baptists. First grade and sixth and seventh grade were Methodists. And I didn't know the difference between the two going through school, of course. But Mom and Dad didn't seem worried about it, so I wasn't worried about it either. They read the Bible. They gave a short devotion. We had, dare I say, the word prayer.
Oh my.
And they whipped the daylights out of you, didn't go by it.
Yes.
The number of religious leaders who have so willingly surrendered the accurate, preserved Word of God for apostate versions based upon altered Bible manuscripts written by Gnostic, that is a mystery religion of heretics, Catholics, if any Catholics here, God loves you, but you're wrong, and other unbelieving scholars, etc., is bewildering. School after school, church after church, Bible student after Bible student, believer after believer, have increasingly been led away from the true Word of God by apostate Bible authorities.
Yes.
The arrogant view of these Bible authorities is that the Bible text issue should be left to the professionals. Fooey. Because of this, timid and spiritually weak, insecure graduates of Bible schools often compromise rather than risk being evaluated as being too conservative by these overlord teachers. As an example, Bob Jones University, that's spelled B-O-B, well, Bob Jones University can often blackball a graduate, and I know some that he has.
Didn't bug you, did they?
Somewhat. Okay. I love testimonies. Can often blackball a graduate who stands firmly with the authorized version and the received text. FBJ is an institution no longer standing with the authorized version. The threat of disloyalty with Bob Jones on any part can cause fear to graduates because of the awful threat of being accused of disloyalty to the university.
Yeah.
Can you just hear the drama in that? Disloyalty to the university. I'll tell you what, it's foolish to me, but it terrifies a lot of those students because they are whipped into line.
Yeah.
knowing that the university can put a bad letter out on them and it'll seriously alter the ministry. And they do it.
Yeah. They're literally writing bad letters?
Yes, so it is. Where was it? Oh, it's over here. Bob Jones University as an institution no longer stands with the authorized verse, and that disloyalty is the thing that forces their students so often to go along with the disloyalty of the school and their change of the Bibles. For this reason, the author is using Bob Jones University as an example. That's just half true. I've got some other reasons, but this is one reason I'm using. As an example, well, I want to be honest with you. As an example of an indoctrination institution of being, and it says it's a godly educational institution, but it's an indoctrination that isn't godly.
Right.
Bob Jones has, for many years, powerfully promoted New Version Bibles, and at this writing is using, as I said, the English Standard Version. Now, an accurate number of churches which have been led into error by students of New Version schools could be determined at this time. However, it must be stated that the number appears to be astounding. Personal observation by this writer has witnessed the closing of several once strong schools and the decline or dissolvement of conservative churches is rising. At the same time, churches using altered versions have dramatically increased in numbers and attendance. Now, I don't know how this is where you come from, but where we live around in Greenville, here's the way the new churches are going. Popular music. You don't know, to listen at it from the outside, you wouldn't know it's a church.
Right.
Popular music. Light shows. I was out knocking on doors here a while back, and a young man in his early 20s came to the door. I said, "Hi, I'm Ken Rainey. I want to invite you to church if you don't go anywhere regularly." "Oh, my grandmother and I run the light show over here at this church." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, we make the lights go, you know, back and forth. People like to see the lights moving." And I said, "Is that right? You and Grandma do that?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's interesting." And the music director they had over there, it's been 6 or 8 years ago, wore Bermuda shorts and tennis shoes, no socks, and a shirt, tank top, shirt, and dyed his hair blue, and it was a big kinky thing. They're pulling them in. The departure from traditional worship is usually promoted by pastors who use and promote other Bible versions. And according to the following internet location, this is one word now, Christian Post, one word, ChristianPost.com, May 20th, 2013, that's the only thing I can find. On the top 10 Bible translation are as follows. 1, New Living Translation. 2, New International Translation. 3, King James Version. I'm sure that's probably changed by now. 4, the New King James Version. That's the same thing as a Jehovah's Witness Bible. Jehovah's Witness comes to your house and they say, well, I don't want to, you won't use the same Bible. Oh, I use King James Bible. So they come out with the King James Bible and it goes right, the power of the Holy Spirit and that sort of thing's taken out, and they just go right through it and say, "See, we're the same as you. We just work. And they don't say they're working their way to heaven. They just say, "We work." That's the only difference. And they mislead people. The New King James Version, number 4. 5 is the English Standard Version, was in 13. 6, Holman Christian Standard Bible. 7, New American Standard Version. 8, Common English Bible. 9, Reina Valera, 1960. I don't actually count that as what I wanted, but anyway, they put it in there. Number 10, The Message, 2012. Most of these Bible verses are based upon the corrupt text. And since truth and worship should be based upon the Word of God, it is easy to see how worship is altered as well as the Bible used. Standards of morality, ethics, law, government, living standards follow the Bible shows them. According to the list of above Bibles used, truth is rapidly being replaced by error, and godly worship is in decline. Sadly, large numbers of Bible schools and seminaries are now using and promoting altered version of the Bible. Without endorsement and promotion by these institutions and their graduates, the proliferation and use of altered Bibles would not have made such inroads as we see now. This author entitled this paper, Altered Bibles and Their Supporters, because without influential supporters, biblical believers would seldom ever relinquish their authorized King James Bible for an obviously seriously altered Bible. Now we get down to some nitty-gritty. Bob Jones in Greenville, South Carolina, will be an example of a secret promoter of altered Bibles and the effect they have caused. There are, however, many others. The founder of Bob Jones was a staunch King James supporter. Yeah. He founded the school of his namesake upon the King James Bible. And then an online article entitled Bob Jones University, I don't know how they let this get away, we learned that his namesake school was born out of concern during the fundamentalist-modernist controversy of the 1920s. He powerfully preached from and defended the King James Bible. Dr. Bob brooked no quarter for new versions on their promoters. However, when Dr. Bob's militant stand against the revised standard version is mentioned to Bob Jones' leadership today, they smilingly and sympathetically respond in this way. After all, Dr. Bob wasn't a scholar. He was an evangelist. Wait a minute, I got a little comment on that. Why is an apostate scholar to be held in higher esteem than a faithful evangelist? It seems unclear to me. Or I'll tell you, they could really eat cheese. Bob Jones needs to be seen as an example of faith and religion gone awry. There are many fine graduates of Bob Jones University who stand firmly by the tried and true authorized version. However, they do not seem to be in the majority. Am I running out of time? Okay. Each Bob Jones University candidate and any candidate. Now please hear me kindly about this. This is serious business right here. Get this. Each Bob Jones candidate, that is, who's being spoken to by a pulpit committee or some committee that's seeking to find a minister in some service in their church. Each Bob Jones candidate and any candidate, I don't care where they come from, should be carefully and very prayerfully evaluated and questioned if being considered for ministry service or Sunday school teacher. People, you know, some people don't think a thing in the world about the Sunday school teacher. Mm-hmm. But you better wise up, I'll tell you that, because a Sunday school teacher can make a mess in your church and out of people. The questions and answers, get this now, police for years, I'll tell you, you better get this. The questions and answers most surely should be committed to writing and signing by the candidate and the ministry representative. As well as having and preserving a voice and DVD recording in order to reduce possible disagreements. I didn't say that.
Oh, yes, you did.
And you're fired. See, you can do that. Caution must be used when a BJ graduate is asked if they use the authorized version. They'll often say, oh, I love the King James Bible. I wouldn't tell you that when he was a missionary to come to Tangai Church. Wanted to support him. I said, you use the King James Version? That's what you use? And yes, sir, that's what I use. Got it right here in my hand. I said, you believe it? Oh, yes, sir, sure do. Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's hear you. So he got up and he said, boy, I'll tell you, your pastor's rough. He said, I don't believe he'd let me got up here and said anything today if I had anything but a King James Bible. I said, hey, amen. He lied and he went on to the mission field and was using the New International Version. I found out about it and I wrote him a letter. I said, you lied. He wrote back, he said, no, I didn't. I do use it, the King James Bible, but I also use the New American Standard Version. I use both of them. I said, you know we don't support anything but King James Bible missionaries. He said, well, even Charles Spurgeon used some other verses of the Bible that had come along. I said, I wouldn't support Charles Spurgeon if he used some of those, but the King James. He never talked with me again. That is often a smokescreen reply. The unfinished sentence is, but I use the ESV. Understanding why a good school would take a scripturally wrong path is hard to fathom. Nonetheless, the Christian community needs to awaken and be more spiritually discerning in their choice of ministry servants and the Bible the church uses. Accurate information about fundamental abandonment concerning the educational institution is not easily found. However, if contacted and asked, the Dean Burgon Society can often provide resource help regarding institutions and their present stand concerning the authorized King James Bible. I just kind of took that on myself. At this writing, the only school Dr. D.A. Wake, president of our Dean Burgon Society, recommends is the Foundation Bible College and Seminary, Dunn, North Carolina, H.T. Spence, president. Dr. Wake stands ready to answer questions concerning other institutions he might be acquainted with, but ask. Accurate information can often save a church or the ministry from being led into the era of altered Bible ministry or eventual split in a church fellowship. Churches or other ministries are often led into apostasy by their pastor who was indoctrinated in a Christian text institution. I'm going to have to skip down this because I don't get this in. Many have an opinion as to the Bible version position of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. However, his position is crystal clear in a voice recording of a sermon Dr. Jones Sr. preached at a chapel service at Bob Jones University in 1955. I happen to possess a copy of that. The beloved founder left nothing unsaid in his warning and disapproval of any departure from the received text of the authorized King James Bible. At one point in the sermon, Dr. Bob thundered, and nobody could thunder like Bob could thunder, thundered these words, quote, I have said many a times, that's the founding president of Bob Jones University, did you get that? Let me read it again for you. I said many a times, that's good 1920s conversation.
Amen.
If I was up in heaven 50 years from now, and it is, and the Lord tarries, and any religious liberal ever sat in a classroom in this institution and tried to dissemble his infidelity, I'd ask God the Almighty to excuse me for a little while, and I'd come back down to this school and get a stick of dynamite and blow it to smithereens. I'd rather have this school a heap of rubbish. A little rubbish here, a little rubbish there. Yonder, excuse me. Than see the time ever come we could be such a bunch of softies, we'd sit down and let the devil put in his modernists and religious liberals in here to rob them of their faith. Yes. And yet that thing has gone on in America from one end to the other while we Christian people have been at home in peace.
Oh,
I've told you about a boy on this campus a few days ago who went to a good seminary that I thought was all right. You ought to hear what he said about that seminary. Listen, listen. When you're wondering if the theology of an education isn't right, it isn't right. When people wonder if it's orthodox, it isn't orthodox. Unquote. Tragically, that has been true of Bob Jones for a long time. This author founded a church in Greenville, South Carolina in 2002. 2002. He had several Bob Jones affiliated attenders. Most never joined. They just about wouldn't join. Among them, won't join. Within 5 years, we saw the Lord bless and attendance average 80 by 2007. As pastor, this author practices door-to-door witnessing for Christ. Between the year 2002 and 2006, this author knocked on 15,000 doors. How do you know? Because I got the tracts, I know how many there were, and they were handed out. Because our church was founded as an independent fundamental Baptist church, the question often arose from prospects about the difference between a Southern Baptist church, which there are a number of them that were in front, and an independent fundamental Baptist church. The usual answer given was, we don't believe in supporting the Southern Baptist Cooperative Program, nor an altered Bible that they commonly use. What is the difference between the Bibles? Was asked many, many times. Unable to take the time to, because of necessity, to clearly deal with the question, the answer was given, new Bible versions are seriously altered. I stand by that now. Through prayer and a realized need, a tremendous need, of understanding for the average person in our area that I encountered about the Bible issue, this then pastor, retired now, determined to have a Bible conference to deal with the issue of Bible versions. Because of his thorough grasp of the Bible issue, Dr. D.A. Waite was approached in 2006 about a Bible conference in early 2007. They agreed. And when the Bible conference was announced to our church, the Bob Jones affiliated attenders, now I want you to notice that they were just attenders, they were these members, they didn't come in 2, 3, 4 years. They never even joined, wouldn't join. And I didn't push them to too much, but I mean, they just never did. Those attenders castigated Dr. Waite as a heretic. You're not a heretic. I never called him a heretic. Within a few weeks, our church had 7 members. About 16 or 17 Bob Jones University attenders who hate this man with all the hate they can muster, went around. They wouldn't go out and invite anybody to come to church to tell them about Jesus.
Right.
They went all around to every one of the members of the church over and over and over again over the next several weeks. Unbeknownst to me, we had 7 members when the Bible conference started. And only 3 of those came. Now, in fairness to them, the other 4 had reasons why they couldn't be there. And so, it was interesting. to say the least. Oh, well, anyway, I got to move on. I'm down here real quick. I hate these manuscripts. Anyway, a heretic won't hold me up too much. Within a few weeks, our church has 7 members. Those reached by Christ by hard work and God's blessings believe the divisive, hateful efforts of the Bob Jones supporters more than the pastor. The unimaginable result concerning our beloved members was heartbreaking. You don't win people to the Lord and not love them.
Right.
And when somebody leads them away like that, I had one man who sat and cried and said, "Go get them back. Tell them we won't have the Bible prophecy." He just cried his eyes out. I saw, I said, "I'm sorry about that, boys. The Bible's too important."
Amen.
He said, you're in my will. I've got $9 million. I've got cancer. I won't live long. You're in my will. Anything the church owns at my death, my son is going to pay it off. Building and all. All I want you to do is call off this Bible conference. I said, I can't do that. He said, well, I'll take you out of my will. Now, you think me a fool if you want to. I said to boss, I was on the police force living for a long time. I love it. I said, boss, I'd rather have a Bible than a building. We have to leave the building. We'll take our Bible with us. The unimaginable result of our beloved members was heartbreaking. So it is in Greenville, South Carolina, as well as in many other communities where Bob Jones has inroads. These statements are not sour grapes. They are the truth. This author has many friends who graduated from Bob Jones, and they're watching this now. And I can hear the amens. One of them nearly blind. One of the dearest evangelists who ever lived. Graduate of Bob Jones. Heartbroken. Numbers of them are watching right now. However, Bob Jones as an institution is ruthless. I can't make that sound mean enough. They are ruthless. They told one of the deacons at our church who was an employee at Bob Jones University, if he didn't quit the church, they were going to fire him. He came to me and said, "Preacher, I can't lose my house." I said, "Well, why not? I'm going to lose mine."
That's great.
I mean, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference somewhere or another? They're ruthless. With any individual or church who dares stand with the authorized King James Bible. Do you hear that, brother? Where's our pastor? Where's the pastor? Oh, yeah. They find out you had this Bible conference here and they're going to work on you too. Point out the hypocritical position of a school founded by an authorized King James evangelist in 1927. One who graduated from Southern Seminary schools and Baptist schools and seminary, poor man that I am, about 11, 12 years of college and seminary, doesn't look like a mammoth in the end. I try to forget most of it. This author knows full well what pressure can be put on a student to be a go-along, to get-along fellow. But thank God it's been proven that God can and will stand with anyone who will stand with Him in His preserved Word. And this author has found the answer to educational institution meddling with a ministerial candidate. And if you know any ministerial candidate who seems weak-kneed and nervous about taking a stand in school or not, I've been in the president's office of most of them, walked up and down on the desk and just had my say. You say, you wouldn't do that. if they're going to be the kind of person they are, they don't have to have respect. Godly people, they have a right to be respected. But lying, dishonest school officials who say one thing, do another, ruin children, ruin churches, cause people to go to hell, I don't respect them one bit. I have no respect. This author has found an answer to educational, institutional meddling with ministry candidates. Now, jot this down and give it to somebody you know who's a ministerial candidate. Disassociate oneself from seeking endorsement or recommendation from any school. Don't let them bully you around. Especially a new version institution. In an effort to support the claim that Bob Jones is not a truly fundamental institution, this author offers this from a book entitled, about a book entitled From the Mind of God to the Mind of Man. This author found a book, which accurately evaluates this beloved Bob Jones book, written by Bob Jones graduates. The revealing book from the mind of God to the mind of man, the book used to evaluate that book mind of God to the mind of man was by Dr. D.A. Wade. That's aggravated folks that can blow up. I'm sorry to have that attitude, but I've seen too much wound. I've seen too much heartache and horror. I've seen too many people mishandled. I've seen churches destroyed because of these ruthless people, and I just almost can't contain myself. The book I'm talking about was written by Dr. D.A. Wade, entitled Fundamentalist Misinformation on Bible Versions. And I won't plug it, but you can get it from the Bible Today Press. Collinswood, New Jersey, 08108. March 2000. This figure will quote from Chapter 8, Misinformation Issue Number 47. Quote, Dr. Randolph Shaler, the author of this section, is a loyal graduate of Bob Jones University. He's on the committee for the Bible's text and translation chosen by Dr. J.D. Williams, the general editor of The Mind of Man. As such, he's one of the copyright holders. He's managing editor of the book. He is presently the pastor of Antioch Baptist Church, Riverdale, Georgia. I don't know if he is or not. This was in about 2000 or like. But misinformation number 47, Dr. Shader says this, quote, this inspiration imposes the authority of the scriptures upon all mankind. Even those outside the fold of fundamentalism recognize this fact. That is from G.W. Bromley, has well said. Bromley is the one who, he quotes Bromley for that. Recognize outside of fundamentalism too. That was in the Mind of Man on page 14. Dr. Waite says, and I'll quote it. Dr. Shaler goes on to quote, now this is Dr. Waite quoting it, this is Dr. Waite's words. Dr. Shaler goes on to quote from G.W. Bromley's article, the author of Scripture from the New Bible Commentary, 1954, page 15. This is where Shaler got this quote from. Dr. Waite is documented that. Dr. Waite says, this commentary, based on the apostate-backed Revised Standard Version, was published by the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. It contains many serious doctrinal and historical errors, including, to name a few, those regarding the Mosaic authorship of the Pentateuch, the universal flood of Noah, Tower of Babel, the judgment of Sodom, and the judgment of Egypt. A compromiser at best, G.W. Bromley, has been professor at the left-wing neo-evangelical Fuller Theological Seminary. In spite of this, Bob Jones University alumnus Shaler quotes him as an authority without giving the reader any warning whatsoever concerning Dr. Brumley's erroneous beliefs and affiliations, except for admitting the fact that Dr. Brumley is not a fundamentalist. Well, anybody would have known him, but I guarantee you he didn't say that. Couldn't he have found any other author to quote on this subject? Since Dr. Shaler is a professing fundamentalist himself, is there no professing fundamentalist scholar whom he respects enough to cite regarding the inspiration and authority of Scripture? It leads the reader to believe that Dr. Brumley is a fully trustworthy student of Scriptures. This is misinformation by omission, according to Dr. Wade. What time is that?
Take your time. No time. Every single word.
The writings, endorsements, flashman, text views, the books promoted and published, the threats this author's church had, the vociferous efforts to hinder new attendees from coming to our church. I went to visit a lady who came to our church, and she just was thrilled. She really enjoyed it. Oh, she was just so happy. She went home. Tuesday, I took one of the men, and we went to visit. I don't visit, went ladies.
Yeah,
I'm a servant.
Right.
Went to see her. No one would come to the door. They used someone's home because I saw her peep out the curtain. Well, there was no person living there, so I thought, well, she wouldn't come to the door. I said, okay, maybe this is a bad time, so it went on. Thursday, I went back. I usually go for it. Again, she peeped out, but she wouldn't come to the door. I said, well, two strikes, okay, so we left. The next Tuesday, we went back, knocked on the door. This time, she came to the door, timid lady, just a real lady. I said, hi, ma'am, are you all right? Yes and no. I said, well, what's the matter? She said, well, you know, my brother is a deacon down at Hampton Park Baptist Church, and I told him that I've been to your church on a Sunday, and he had a fit. I said, it ain't a problem. He said, y'all are a gang of heretics. I said, you did. I said, you seen a heretics when you were there before? No. I said, could it possibly be wrong? Well, he said he wouldn't have anything else to do with me if I went to church. So she said, I'm sorry, but I just can't come back. I said, oh, that's all right, lady. I understand. I know what you're going through. I said, well, we do appreciate having you down there. We'll pray. You pray. We can have a good name for you, lady. So she looked like she was going to faint. She said, well, thank you. She'd been bullied. That's what's going on. Oh, how they sing. Oh, how they shout. Oh, how. And oh, my goodness. I'll tell you. These hinder churches, they blackballed us all over the county. There are about almost 500 houses in that subdivision. People are always moving in and out, moving out. Our church was up front. And I tried to keep up with it. I kind of had a thought to the postman that maybe we'd get some information about who was moving in and out. And they'd get to them first. People had moved out, they didn't care. But people were moving in, they'd invite them to go to Hampton Park or somewhere like that. I didn't mean to say Hampton Park. But go somewhere else. And if the people say, well, we want to look around a while, they'd say, well, don't go to that little church out in front of the subdivision here. They're a gang of heretics. Boy, I'm telling you, that is a snake-handling crowd down there. Boy, just, and instead of working for Christ, they're working against doing anything. I bet I shouldn't be. But I think I was probably winning as 10 people to the Lord as ever that happened apart. I'd say that part. Winning them right and teaching them right. Nonetheless, that's what they were doing in our church. They called us a cult. How did Bob Jones come to this unscriptural place? This is about the last paragraph, folks. How did Bob Jones come to this unscriptural place contrary to the founder's intention? Like so many others, they were led astray by respected Bible scholars who were used of Satan to ruin a wonderful institution of learning. And you can disagree with me with that, and we'll still be friends, and I'll love you right on. But Satan ruined that school. It had the most influence from God all over this country that can be imagined. And I won't call Dr. Brokenshire one of the ones that let him in there. But he probably would. But it didn't take but one in the head of the Bible department to bring in his lackeys and buddies and all that. And the Bible department went. And then after the Bible department went, then the music started going. Down one at a time, one at a time. That's the way the devil gets people. One singer. Oh, everybody's got a little singing somewhere. Mine's playing out meanness. That's what mine is, and I confess it in a word I'm ashamed of. I am. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would have a sanctified fit if a teacher of mine thought he was going to be able to push an altered Bible off on me. I went to Southern Seminary, and I, after class, they handed this Oxford Annotated Bible to me and told me that's what we're going to use in this class. I went up there after the class was over. And I said, hey, Doc, let me ask you a question. I was 30 years old when I went up there. I was a grown man. I'd been in Polish work a long time. You didn't scare me, did you? I said, I'm going to ask you a little question here, Doc. This said, in my mind. I said, now, how bad is that going to alter my class? Standing. He looked at me. I didn't have on gym shorts. I didn't have on tennis shoes or a tank top. I wasn't chewing bubble gum. He said, well, not at all, Mr. Randy. I said, well, if it is, tell me now. I'll drop the class. Oh, no, nothing like that. When they got on over there and threw the fish team and the Gilbert shape and all that, he wouldn't. I sat over here. He'd teach this way. And he said, of course, the Jews didn't have a written language. They copied it from the Gilgamesh epic and all that. I said, and that was hour and a half class, so got down to the end, they always had questions. And so he was asking questions. And so I'm sitting over here, right along behind where his weight is, so to speak. So finally I said, hey, psst, psst. Oh, hey. I got one. Yes. I said, you find a document somewhere with a date on it that says either of those things? Well, no. I said, there isn't any possibility, giving some credence to the Bible, that the Acadians might have gotten it from the Jews.
There you go.
He said, well, they couldn't have because the Jews didn't have a written language. I said, where'd you get that from? That's exactly what I said. He said, well, it's commonly known. It's taught. It's the truth. They didn't have a written language. I said, well, I'll tell you, the fish team might have been the hero in the Gilgamesh epic, but I said, Noah was the hero in the real epic, and I said, people didn't want to get in on that either, but I said, they could have if they would have. And I said, how about the Gilgamesh epic? ring, the bell rang. Well, it's all for the bird. Anyway, let me give one little piece of information here for people. How do you know about schools that go apostate? Why do fundamental schools go apostate? We have a friend of ours that has written a good book. Don Jasmine has written a very enlightening book on the subject. Why do fundamental schools go apostate? And you can get that from Fundamental Baptist Missions, one word, fundamentalbaptistministries.com. And find out a lot about it. But I want to tell you, I appreciate so much. I know you showed me some patience, and I appreciate it. I got a bad situation with my sugar right now, and it's hard up here. But anyway, I in my old age, I've got this sugar problem. But anyway, my heart is broken. Over all this, I've seen too many people ruined. I've seen schools, people ruined, people fired for taking the right stand. And it's just such a. All right. If you will stand with me, Psalm 119, and we'll start at verse 33. Psalm 119, starting at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Amen and amen. Help us to mend that. Amen. Keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not unto covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. This is important. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Amen. Thank you so much.